Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about on today's broadcast, well, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and once again, that number is 844-322-2742. Friends, as we get underway today, Bob, Richard, and our staff and I invite you to join us in celebrating and at the same time kind of mourning the retirement of Billy Rayburn, that wonderful lady who has served so faithfully, so cheerfully and joyfully at the front desk and in other positions with us at the ministry here for these past 22 years. And friends, many of you know her or speak with her on a regular basis, and what a wonderful spirit shows through our Billy. So she is retiring, effective at the close of business tomorrow, and we are going to miss her.
We are going to miss her, and as I've been contemplating this particular day, I keep thinking about Romans 16, and at the end of that great book, Paul spends a good portion of that last chapter just thanking people. Because the gospel and is all about people. Jesus came to save people. God loves people. And it's people who carry out the ministry. It's people who tell other people that God isn't counting their sins against them, that Jesus has come to take away their sins and is offering life. So it's people who carry out ministry. And we are so grateful for the people that God sends our way,
yes,
both for those who serve with us on staff and for those who serve with us by being a part of Basic Gospel, through their finances, through their prayers, and through the various things that God works in and through their lives to carry out this good news,
yes,
to tell others about this good news of Jesus Christ. So Billy has just been a joy to work with. She has loved on people,
yes,
just extremely well. I get a chance to listen to her, talk to folks when they call in,
yeah,
and she is just so delightful.
Jeez,
and always ends a conversation, "Have a blessed day," and she sincerely means that.
She
and
does.
So we are grateful for Billy Rayburn. We are grateful for the wonderful work and serving this ministry for so many years, and grateful for the way she has just loved on people,
yeah,
and helped them understand a little more deeply that God is love. And so thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And I know many of our listeners know Billy. They've talked,
yes,
with her. If you would like to just send her a note via email, we invite you to do that. You can send it to me, Bob@basicgospel.net. That's Bob@basicgospel.net. We'll be sure and give those comments to her. I know that would be a great encouragement to her. And if you would like to just drop her a note and send it to us via mail, we would get that to her as well.
Yeah.
So today we honor Billy Rayburn. We are grateful for her. And she is one of the blessings that God has sent our way.
Without question. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we have open lines for you at 844-322-2742. If it's coming around to 4 minutes past 3 p.m., you're hearing the Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we have an open line for you right now, 844-322-2742. Well, you know, it's an important subject we've been talking about all this month, this issue of eternal security, and for the rest of today and tomorrow, we have an excellent three-message series by that very same name, Eternal Security, that we want to send you as you make your February gift to support Basic Gospel. Now, this series will amplify everything Bob has been speaking about, Bob and Richard have been speaking about this entire month, and we want you to have a copy. This is a vital subject, and understanding that you are forever secure in Jesus Christ is imperative if you're to live in the abundant life that he has made available to you. So click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And of course, in Canada, you can go to basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Eternal Security. But be sure to do that no later than tomorrow when this offer ends. Well, guys, we have this call that came in overnight. Let's listen right now.
Hi, my name is Johnny out of California. And my question is, I've been talking to a lot of people about eternal security. And one of the things I always say is that we have to continue in holiness in order to keep our salvation. But my response is always, is salvation by works or not? If you're maintaining your salvation, then that means you're working for it to keep it. If you're trying to gain salvation, then you're still working for it. Either way, it still works for salvation. Now, am I teaching that correctly, or am I not? It appears that many teachers today have gone so far as say that you can't lose your salvation, but if you don't repent and you're in sin, you're going to go to hell. It's like an oxymoron. So there it is there. God bless you, and may the Lord bless your ministry. Bye-bye. Well,
amen. We're done here today.
That's right. Yeah. I think Johnny has it exactly right.
Yeah.
As how the Word of God lays it out about this salvation, it is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not of works so that no one can boast. That's very clear. It's very clear in the Word of God. And really, when you think about it, what do we have to offer to God? I mean, we're dead in trespasses and sins. Dead people don't have much to offer. And in that condition, we were living to gratify the desires of the flesh. Mm-hmm. We were controlled and dominated by sin. So if that's the case, what would we produce? Mm-hmm. What kind of works would we produce? Well, sin-sourced works.
Yeah.
And those just aren't going to stand up. They have no merit to them whatsoever. So there's only one possible solution, and that's the grace of God. There's only one way for us to be saved. And when he saves us by his grace, he does something for us and to us. And I love what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 10. And I think this really gets to Johnny's point about maintaining holiness. We read in verse 10 of Hebrews 10, "And by that will we have been sanctified," or made holy, "through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." So this gospel message, a part of the benefit is that we have been made holy in God's eyes. He has given us his holiness. So now we're not going to get more holy. We're not going to climb the ladder of holiness at all. We've been given Christ's holiness, and we're as holy as we'll ever be. We're as set apart as we will ever be. Now, what's going to happen as we grow in the grace of God and grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, then we're going to start to see our actions and some of our choices to really line up with that holiness that we've already been given through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's God's work in and through us. As Paul wrote in Philippians, we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. What is that? Well, the fact that we've been made holy. We work that out. But then he goes on to say, because it is God who is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we're just abiding in the vine. And as we abide in the vine, we're going to see his life flowing through us. And what kind of life is that? It's a holy life. And what does a holy life look like? It looks a lot like love. It looks a lot like the love of God. So as we walk by faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to manifest that through love one toward another.
Yes,
it's a simple life, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, I remember way back when I was a kid once that I was poking around through my grandmother's cupboards looking for something to eat. I did that a lot. And I found some chocolate, to mix in milk. And I thought, good, I'll mix chocolate. And I made it up, and I didn't realize it was baking chocolate.
Oh.
And
didn't mix well, did it?
Didn't mix well. And it was bitter. And I thought, well, I'll just add more. And all I created eventually was this stuff, the consistency of mud, that tasted awful. That's my works.
Yeah,
that's the best I can do. It looks like mud. It tastes like dirt. It's worthless. If I would, fast forward to when I finally learned what grace was and realized that all of the works that I ever needed to commit in my whole life were already created for me beforehand by God himself, and I got to discover them by grace through faith, mm-hmm. What a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a difference.
What a difference. And it is basic gospel. And thanks, Richard, for those thoughts. And, guys, Sharon had a question about Mark chapter 16 and verses 14 through 20. She said, "I used to really struggle with these verses because I've never spoken in tongues, but I noticed it said a new tongue. So what is the difference between a new tongue and other tongues? Also, is Jesus talking to his disciples at that time? Because I don't know anyone who is doing the things he told them to do, to go out and do." That's from Sharon.
Well, I think that's exactly right, that he is giving this information to his disciples, his apostles, and certainly they carried out some of these things. Mm-hmm. You just look at the Apostle Paul and the life that he lived. You see that a lot of these signs and wonders followed him. Yeah. And I think it's important for us to understand that. I mean, here was Jesus. He shows up on the scene. He's not exactly what the people of Israel are looking for as far as a Messiah is concerned, but he is the Messiah, and he was the Messiah, and he conquered sin and death just like God sent him to do, and now he's offering new life to those who will receive him, and so that's the message. And so to substantiate that message, God gave these apostles some power and signs and wonders that really made people take notice of what they were saying, that this just isn't a new philosophy. This is something from God himself that is being done in and through this person named Jesus of Nazareth. So we see the apostles carrying out all of that in their ministry. So this isn't stuff for us. I think this really was limited to them and their apostolic ministries to really be the ones to reveal to the world what this gospel message is all about, what it really means that Christ died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead, that he ascended to the right hand of God the Father, what that really means. And these miracles and signs and wonders helped communicate that message, or really to make people take notice of it back then. Well, once it got established, then that message about Jesus has just continued to move forward through human history. And so today we hear it, we receive it, and we're changed, we're transformed, we're made alive together with Christ. And that's a miracle. That's an unbelievable miracle. And as we kind of live out that new life, then we share it with others. And so it just keeps moving forward, doesn't it, Richard?
Yeah, and only we humans would take what Jesus said and turn it around completely backwards. I mean, he said, these signs will accompany those who believe. So what we do, instead of asking someone if they believe or wonder if the apostles believed, we say, well, can you do this? And can you do this? And can you do this? And if you can do all of those things, well, then maybe I'll think you believe. That's completely backwards. And,
yes.
And it's legalistic. It's judgmental. It can only result in confusion. And in some cases, as we all know, death. It's people playing with snakes like they, mm-hmm. you know, this is some proof of how special I am, and they get bit and they die.
Yeah.
Why would we do that? Because
right.
That's the human response to things. We always turn it into a legalistic work instead of allowing God to be God and do what he's going to do.
Yes, indeed.
Well, again, it's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us, and we would love to hear from you if you can dial in right now at 844-322-2742. Friends, if you've ever asked the question, how is the Christian life supposed to work, then Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is for you. How do we enjoy a deep personal connection with God? Well, the same way that we got started, by his grace. Find out how you can live in freedom with purpose and joy just as God intended. Experience the full benefits of the full gospel simply by grace. You can visit basicgospel.net and click the link at the top of the homepage and learn how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Mesquite, Texas and talk to Rod listening to us on the Word today. Hi, Rod.
Hey, God bless you. God bless you. I love your program. You minister to me so much. I appreciate y'all.
That's great.
What's on your mind today?
What I was wondering was the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, the Israelites, when did the Jewish people or the Israelites begin? Was Adam and Eve considered Jewish, or did it begin with Abraham, and Abraham was taken out of, you know, an ungodly religion and became a Jew through God, and that's how the Jewish nation and the Israelites begin? Or what were there always Jews on the earth from Adam and Eve, or that's and are Israelites and Jewish people synonymous? Is that the same thing, Israelites and and Jewish?
Yeah. Well, Rod, those are great questions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as far as Adam and Eve, from Adam and Eve all the way up to Abraham, it was just people.
Yeah.
You know, there weren't really any distinctions. There were just people. And then Abraham is kind of doing his thing, living his life, and God shows up. And God gives Abraham a promise, the Abrahamic covenant. And he says, through your seed, the whole world is going to be blessed. So there was a promised son, and Abraham tried to help God along and got with Hagar, and they produced Ishmael, and that wasn't the son of promise that God had talked about. And so when he was 100, he and Sarah gave birth to Isaac. And then that went to Jacob, and then Jacob had the 12 sons, and those 12 sons became the 12 tribes mm-hmm. of Israel. Now, we know the story. They weren't really formalized as a country until after the Exodus. So when they were released from Egyptian control, they went to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, God basically organized them through this old covenant and said, I'm going to take you from this place to Canaan, and that is going to be your land. And when you get there, you're going to have each tribe is going to have an allotment of the land, and that will become kind of the nation of Israel, the theocracy, God in charge, God leading, God directing by his presence. And so that became the nation of Israel. Now they chose to violate the covenant, the Mosaic covenant. They bowed down their knee to worship foreign gods. And that was kind of their history for 1,500 years. But the fulfillment of really Israel's story is really in the person and work of Jesus Christ. This bloodline was established and set up so that the seed, Jesus Christ, could come into the world and that he would be a blessing to all nations. So that was kind of God's will and purpose in choosing Abraham and giving him those blessings and then moving it forward through that group of people. Richard, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, the actual name Israel, or Israeli or Israelite, comes because God changed Jacob's name.
Yes.
And we read about that back in Genesis 35, where your name is Jacob, no longer shall you be called Jacob, but Israel or Israel shall be your name. So God changed Jacob's name, and therefore all of his descendants were called Israelites. So that's where that came from, and you know everything else you said, but there's where the name actually came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that help, Rod?
Okay. Yeah. So actually, the Jewish nation started with Abram, which became Abraham through God,
yes. mm-hmm.
and that's where the Jewish nation began, right?
That is correct. They were really formalized as a people at Mount Sinai, after they had been released from Egypt. So you know the story of Joseph. He was sold as a slave and into Egyptian control, and through his ability to interpret dreams and that sort of thing, he rose to second in command, overseeing kind of the agriculture in Egypt. And when a famine hit the Middle East, he worked it for his entire family, all of his brothers and their families, to be moved to Egypt so they could survive. And so they went and set up shop at a little town in Egypt, and they began to multiply and grow. And as they did, Pharaoh and his leadership team looked and said, wow, this is a concern. This could be a problem. So we need to really enslave them so that they can't get out of hand. And that lasted for about 400 years. And then God raised up Moses. Moses delivered the people out of Pharaoh's control. They went through the Red Sea. They go into the desert. They go to Mount Sinai. And that's where this Mosaic covenant was established. And that's really when they became this nation being led by God himself.
Yes, prior to that, they're just a clan or a family.
Yes. Well, Rod, thanks.
Okay, I was going to say, do I have time for one more quick question or not?
Certainly. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, you know, in the Bible where it talks about pray for peace in Jerusalem, but with Isaac and Ishmael, one became the Arabic nation, you know, which was Ishmael. Isaac was the Jewish. So there will never be peace between Ishmael and Isaac as the countries, the Middle East against Israel. So
until the prince
of peace in the Middle East and in Jerusalem, how can that happen with that?
Well, that happens through Jesus. Jesus is our peace. And so we see in Ephesians chapter 2 that through Jesus, this wall of hostility is torn down, that he kills the hostility inside the hearts of people, and that we can join together as one in Christ. So Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I think when he comes back, we're going to see the peace that we have been praying for cover this globe. So everything hinges on Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he is that blessing. He is that seed that was going to bless the world. He's blessing the world today and calling people unto himself. He's going to bless the world again when he returns. So everything hinges around Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time.
You are so welcome, Rod. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Call any time, okay?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Thank you, sir. Y'all are blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rod. I think this question is very, very appropriate in light of recent legislation in the state of New York and similar legislation or activity in the state of Virginia. This is from Lance. And he says, recently, a person who identified as an ordained minister of our denomination participated in a blessing ceremony of an abortion business. The person claimed to be pro-family, pro-faith, and pro-choice, which to us is complete contradiction in terms. The problem is that we know that at least some of our donations are going to them. The other side of the coin, of course, is that you're always going to find sin and depravity in every church and denomination under the sun. What would be the best gospel-centered approach to dealing with this particular dilemma? Any advice you could offer would be appreciated.
Well, we need to stand for truth. I mean, we can't alter what is true. We can't alter what God has revealed to us in the Word of God. And I think we need to honor life, and we need to dignify people from, you know, the womb all the way to the tomb.
Yes.
So do we always practice the truth? No, but when we start to deny the truth, that's when we get into trouble. When we try to bend the truth to match it to what's going on in culture today, that's when trouble starts to brew. So that's why we need to take a stand on the truth of God as revealed to us in the Word of God. Well, Bob, before you close us, I want to make mention that we still have room on our trip to Israel coming up in May.
Yep.
If you would like to join us, and we would love to have you, come be a part of it. All the information is on our website at basicgospel.net. Don't miss this great opportunity to see where Jesus ministered, walked, lived, died, and rose again. It's
fabulous.
Overwhelming.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Well, friends, if what you hear every day on this program is making a difference for you, we ask you to support it. You've heard the truth about the grace of God. Now others, too, need to hear and live daily in the eternal truth and security found only in Jesus Christ. Join us, friends. Help us get this message out far and wide. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And Canada friends, visit basicgospel.net/Canada to make your donation. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of our series, Eternal Security. And our offer for this particular wonderful resource ends tomorrow. So don't miss this. It's a vital, vital subject, and vital that you understand your position, your identity, your eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to live that abundant life that he has promised. A reminder, too, that the listener line is always open for any question you might have. That number, 844-322-2222. 2742. Call anytime. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.